Let us pray. Oh Father God, open our minds and our hearts to your words, that we might receive and be blessed by them. Amen.
Amen.
Our reading this evening is taken from Haggai, chapter 1, verse 6. Haggai chapter 1 verse 6 then. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. We have a sentence here that speaks loudly, not only to the Jews of Haggai's time, but to the world today. But not only the world, but more importantly, to us, the church. We can toil away, and yet without purpose, and without reward. Why do these silly people seem to be working away so hard, but they have very little to return? They're away in their fields, and yet they're sowing so much, and there's so little to return. In their vineyards, they're making wine, but they don't have enough to drink. Even their clothes don't seem to keep them warm. And their wages just seem to be disappearing in front of them. Who are these people? These people are Jews who have returned from exile from Babylon. Yes, they disobeyed God and they were taken into exile by the Babylonians. And yet the Babylonians were crushed by King Cyrus. God heard them crying in Babylon. They were repentant, and God was moved by their cries. And he moved the king, King Cyrus, king of the Medes and the Persians. Cyrus says, I will return you. And he did. He returned them, and they returned to what was a load of rubble. But he says, I will help you rebuild your city and rebuild your temple, which is more important. And he even made provision for them. And Jerusalem was indeed rebuilt through the work of Ezra and Nehemiah, as we read in their books. The walls were completed, yet the work had stopped, and the temple was incomplete. Why had the temple not been rebuilt? They'd been given everything they needed. And yet they seem to have stopped when everything was going so well for them. There was apathy. That was one of the main reasons. They'd completed their homes. They were safe beyond the walls of Jerusalem. They had their farms. They had their vineyards. And as far as they were concerned, they were doing all right. They were done enough, and they were due a rest. It's all right to take a rest at times, to recharge the batteries. Besides that, they didn't want to rock the boat. The neighbours thereabouts, those of other nations, were not too happy with Jerusalem being rebuilt. It was a threat to them. And they don't want to see the temple built either. That would unite the Jewish people. And they had prevented them for some time. And they thought if they started again on the temple, life might be a bit more difficult. This seems to reflect a worldly view. Let others get on with what they want to do, as long as it doesn't hurt us and doesn't affect us. We can all live together. Let's not rock that boat. Yet, these Jews had permission to rebuild. And they should have been rebuilding. Yes, there was the opposition. And they even sent a letter to the present king who's mentioned there. The second year of King Darius. A letter had been sent to him. To say, look, these guys want to rebuild the temple. Please stop them. It's recorded for us in Ezra. Ezra chapter 5, verse 8. Be it known unto the king that we went in the province of Judea to the house of the great God, to which is builded with great stones, and timber is laid in the walls, and this work goeth on fast, and profiteth in their hands. The nations thereabout were asking, is this right? Should it be stopped? You see, even legally they tried to stop it. And I think we will, as Christians, we will receive the same opposition as we go out into the world and build God's church. People will try to stop us legally. And if not, they will try to stop us illegally. But Darius looked into the records. And he found that indeed the king of that time had let them build that temple. Chapter 6 of Ezra. Verse 6. Now therefore, and it mentions the Tatna, the governor beyond the river, and Shethabuzanah. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place. Moreover, I make a decree that ye shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God, and that of the king's good, even of the tribute beyond the river. Darius, a wise king at the time, said, carry on building it. You know, excuses could be made for not building it. And we ourselves are good at excuses for not doing God's word and his work. But no excuse is good enough for not building, rebuilding the temple. The temple was the symbol of God's presence amongst them. It was where they worshipped God and they met with their God. It was the centre of their religion. It was the centre of their culture. And it was the very existence of their nation. Without it, they are lost. Yet this passage speaks not only to the Jewish nation, but to the nations of the world. They need a God. A true God. We all need a God. We need his saving power. Without him, we are lost. Yes, they can build their empires. They can amass their fortunes. But it's all for naught, for it will disappear. And what is left? For we will stand before our Lord, and there will be nothing there apart from us. And he'll ask us about him. Do we know him? And that's the only thing he wants to know, his relationship we have with him. This speaks powerfully to the church in this nation. We are like the exiles. We are the ones that were exiled. We went out of God's presence. And we have been brought back. We were lost in the world. And Jesus found us. And he brought us back with his own life on that cross. But now we are part of God's kingdom. But what of the church in this country? It is like the exiles. It seems to have taken a back seat. The apathy seems to have set in. We have done our bit. Let us relax. Let's take it easy. Let's settle for an easy life. Are we reaching out like we should? Are we telling others about God? Are we telling others about Jesus' sacrifice? Are we telling others about God's forgiveness and our salvation, it seems it's no longer a priority for us. It seems for the church there are many ways to God. Let's leave the other people alone. Let's leave the other religions. Let's not rock the boat. We've lost our priorities. What should be our priorities? The Jews had their priority, the temple, the symbol of God's presence. We have no building. We ourselves are part of God's temple. We are called in the New Testament living stones. So what is important to us? Isn't it our relationship to God? Let's not talk just about the church, but us as individual Christians. What is our priority? Are we as apathetic as others? Have we put other idols, other things before him? It's so easy in our society nowadays to be distracted. There is so much out there. The TV, the media. I was watching a program the other day. It's so sad, the program. It was about children playing with their video games. And it said the people were getting addicted to it. It was the centre of their attention. It was their God. It was becoming their God. They were getting angry if their parents took their video games away from them. They grew on into adulthood, still playing their video games, giving up work, concentrating on the one thing that they wanted to do. So much so, the one gentleman couldn't survive without it, and he committed suicide. He'd replaced God with a video game. It's so sad. But are we replacing God? Because we are not immune from this world. The TV seems to be on all the time, easily distracting us from what we should be about. Are we making excuses to our God? My time with my family is important, so I put God aside totally. Aren't we meant to be leading our families and teaching them about God? Where is God in our life? Are we getting introspective in our churches? It can be so easy as we run our churches to put God aside. Running our churches, running our buildings, takes time and energy. But let's not forget, our relation to God is our priority. I look at the church in this country and I wonder whose agenda they are following. It does seem we don't want to offend those other religions. The interfaith movement within the church intertwines Christian ideals with those of other religions that they want to worship together, so that our Lord Jesus just becomes another prophet. He should be central, not just another person who's to worship. And yet, we seem to have just taken a step back. Let's let it roll over us. The majority of the rest of the church seems to be having their knees up at every occasion. Where is our yearning for the things of God? Where is the heartfelt remorse for sin, the deep felt anguish of convicted sin? It seems that when many churches gather, they shout and bawl and jump up and down. And there seems to be no conviction of sin. People join the church and they say, come and enjoy ourselves. When we become Christians, there is a celebration. There should be a celebration of new life. We should be different from what we were before. But there is an apathy in the church. There is an apathy within Christians. I met a lady the other day. She stopped to talk to me. She says, I'm a Christian, she says. I pray to God. How's your church doing? I says, we haven't got very many members. Nobody seems to be bothered to come anymore. And she says, well, I used to go to church. But she didn't see herself as the problem. It was everybody else's fault. Oh, you're not getting any many anymore. Oh, what a shame. People do not see themselves as the problem. It is everybody else. Haggai's Jews had stopped following God's commandments. No matter how hard they tried to get rich and live a good life, they failed. For they are under the judgment of God. It is our God that holds all things together. We can try as we might and do things on our own strength, but if you haven't got it right within, we cannot get any further forward. Isn't it wonderful then that God wants to speak to them? God wants to bring them round. He gave the message to Haggai. And he brought the message to the two people who were prominent in that nation. Zerubbabel, a prince, the civil ruler, and Joshua, the high priest. Two positions that are so important to the Jewish nation. But those two positions are important to us, for they are held by Christ. He is our authority. And their authority brought the word to the people. Jesus has brought God's word to us. And what an impact it has on them. They change almost immediately. It's such a short book, such a short chapter. Yet in verse 14 we see something so different. And it says, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did the work in the house of the Lord, their God. Their hearts were changed. A totally different scene. They wanted to do God's work. He'd given them that desire. We need leaders like these two who recognise God's word and act on it. We need to pray for leaders like this, that they will lead the people to build God's church. Not a building, but the people. But we want the people to respond also. And not without the excuses. Look how it touched their hearts. Verse 12 tells us that the people did fear before the Lord. They had an awe and reverence of God. They weren't just sitting back and saying, oh, my God's over there, isn't he wonderful? They had a deep respect and a reverence that we seem to miss so often in our churches nowadays. The church in our country is declining. The world is there in opposition. It pulls people away. It attacks in insidious ways. But the church is apathetic. It is poor at responding. It excuses itself. Oh, we don't want to bother. There's too much hassle. As individuals in the church, we must be more diligent. We shouldn't give up meeting. So many have done so. So many churches have closed. We should seek God through prayer, through study. We should be encouraging and building each other up. Building up our faith that others may see the desire that we have to worship our Lord, that they might want to join us. We need to pray and pray powerfully for God to stir up our hearts as he stirred up the hearts of these Jewish people. We read about revivals. They happened so long ago. We need to pray for a revival. For without God stirring us up, we are without hope. Yes, there will be the remnant. There will be the church of God. But let's not sit back on our laurels. Let's not say, well, God moved many years ago, and we'd like to talk about it. And that's all that we do. Let's be stirred up by the Spirit. Because we want to hear those words that were spoken to the people of that time. God said to them, I am with you. What an encouragement to them. What a confirmation of their faith. We want to hear those words. God speaking to us, confirming our faith, encouraging us. I am with you. For God is with us. He has given us his Holy Spirit. Let's not ignore him. Let's not put him to one side. But let's heed his words. Let's grow in our faith. Let us be the church of God as it should be. Let us pray.